The InStallOwen podcast is brought to you by Cybionics, an emerging CGM brand that focuses on simplifying how individuals aged 18 and above monitor and control their blood sugar levels. Upon becoming available on the market, the Cybionics GS1 CGM has helped users worldwide navigate the complexities of diabetes management with more confidence and peace of mind. Thanks to Cybionics, now more people are able to view and share their real-time glucose data, receive customizable glucose alarms, and generate full AGP reports, all directly from an intuitive Cybionics app, empowering them with the necessary information to make better decisions about their health. Cybionics combines data accuracy and comfort of wear, which is important to us all, with a feature-rich app. The 14-day scanning-free and calibration-free Cybionics GS1 CGM aims to deliver reliable, seamless diabetes management experiences. For more, check out cybionicscgm.com. This is the InStallOwen podcast, where I, Owen Costello, try to redefine diabetes. In this week's episode, I don't know yet if I should reduce my insulin in advance of going into a hot tub if I've never been in a hot tub before. Similar to if I'm going to the gym. I don't know if I should take insulin before the gym or avoid taking insulin before the gym if I've never been in the gym. But before we get into that, everything you hear on the InStallOwen podcast is from my own personal experience. And if you have any worries or issues regarding your diabetes, please contact a medical professional. Now, let's get stuck into this episode. Hello, hello. Welcome back to the InStallOwen podcast. I hope you are well. And wherever in the world you are currently, we appreciate you tuning in. We appreciate your ears and your time. If you're out for a walk, if you're in the car, if you're in the gym, if you are getting into the shower, whatever you're doing, we appreciate your time. I'm currently standing at my desk and looking out my rainy window. But Graham, how are you? Good to see you.
I'm fantastic, Owen. This is a question episode, which we love doing. And I was thinking about it just before we were logging on and I was getting the emails up. And I was thinking, isn't this a great service? That you can literally ask Owen, with all his years of experience, absolutely anything you want, and he'll answer it for you. Free of charge. Come on, ask him anything you want on the podcast. And he will sit down. I will read it to him badly. I will make a lot of mistakes. I will leave a few of them in, but I will edit the most of them out. And then Owen will do his best to give you some advice, because I'm sure it can be overwhelming being diabetic. Maybe you're just diagnosed. Maybe you've been living it for 40 years and there's always something you wanted to know. We love seeing your questions come through. Please do not fear the email. It is theinstallownpodcast@gmail.com. I want you listening right now, because I would love to do more and more and more of these. I want you to have a think while you're listening to this podcast about what is the one question you've always wanted to ask somebody who knows a lot about diabetes. What's the one thing you've always struggled with? And then just send us an email. That's what I want you to do over the next couple of minutes. Have a little think while you're listening to myself and Owen go back and forward and send it to us. And easy. Over the next, we won't get to it straight away. We know that because we've got guests and we've got other episodes, but we will do our best to get it over the next month, 2 months, 3 months. That's our
easy.
That's our loose promise that we'll try and do, because there's a lot going on in the InStallOwen podcast.
It's a no-brainer. Yeah. If you listen to this podcast, surely you have a question that needs to be answered. Or maybe you just need a different perspective or insight around a certain topic or something going on in your life, diabetes-wise. Also, Graham, strangely enough that you said you could be living with it for 40 years, because somebody, I had a great conversation with somebody earlier today who has just signed up for our type 1% program this morning, who has been living with diabetes for 40 years, which is insane. So he will be the longest serving diabetic in the program.
Oh, cool.
Which is exciting, because we've two in the program currently who are 36 years diagnosed, one who is 32 years diagnosed, and a couple 30-ish years, but 40. That's an achievement in itself, 40 years of diabetes.
Do you mind me asking, like, were they diagnosed when they were young, or were they diagnosed in their 20s or 30s? Like, what kind of rough age do they know?
Diagnosed when he was 11.
Okay. It must be mad for people who've been diabetic that long that diabetes has seen such an advancement to technology just over the last few years, would you say, with the introduction of pumps and CGMs. Like, I'm sure that is just mind blowing to somebody, God, what's 40 years ago? Diagnosed in what, the late eight? No.
Yeah, early, late
Sorry,
eighties.
early late 80s. In my head, the 80s are still like 20 years ago. So still work
I
everything
still
back from
think like that too.
2000.
Yeah, it's
That's
weird, isn't
mad.
it? It's weird.
So,
Yeah, the 90s are 10 years ago. That's how I always
yeah.
think. Strange.
So, for someone who was diagnosed, say, in the 80s, they would prick their finger and would they use kind
Well,
of.
maybe not even, because it could have been at a stage. There's a few people that I've spoken to who are like 40, 50-ish years diagnosed, and the only way, now it can depend on the country that they're living in, what they have access to, of course, at the same time. But I've spoken to a few people who are like 40-ish years diagnosed, who could only check their blood sugar numbers basically through a urine test. So they hadn't
Ooh,
even
right.
gotten to a point personally yet where they were finger pricking consistently.
Wow.
And they were
So
taking like basically a mixed concoction of fast acting insulin and slow or long lasting insulin, like your basal and your bolus insulin, which is crazy.
when did finger pricking come in as kind of the standard, we'll say?
I don't, maybe like the, I actually don't know to be 100% sure, so I don't want to say it. I would imagine like for most people, like globally, it was probably like the 90s, I guess. I could be very wrong, and that's okay. But I would imagine it's about that time. Google it and check there. But what
What you doing now?
I even asked the guy today when we were having the conversation. I was asking him like, how was it for you, or how is it for you? Because he still is diabetic, obviously. Seeing that change over a relatively short space of time, because to think of at one stage urine tests and mixed insulin a couple times a day potentially, to now potentially having access to a closed loop system where you have a CGM connected to your pump, which is almost fully, well, essentially is fully automatic. It's worlds apart. And I often think about the advancements even since I've been diagnosed. I've been diagnosed like 12 plus years. And even in the last 4 to 5 years, the difference that I have seen is phenomenal. Because I spent my first 9, 10-ish years only finger pricking. And now, obviously, having access to a CGM, put a pump if I wanted it, potentially. I will test one out this year at some stage. But it's crazy to see the different types of management tools that people use. Like, even in our program, we have people who only finger prick still because that's what they like to do. We have people who use a CGM with insulin pens. We have people who use a CGM with a pump. We have people who use closed loop systems. So there's so many different types of ways that essentially we can manage our diabetes, which is a fantastic thing, but it's worlds apart to what it was previously.
So I've got an article here, the timeline of diabetes tech. So in 1965, a method of testing using blood was invented. A drop of blood would be placed on a test strip and the color would change, indicating the levels of glucose in the blood. However, this was still only available to doctors, meaning patients still couldn't test their blood glucose at home. By the 1970s, a home monitor was being investigated, and in the 1980s, the dextrometer was launched. This had a digital display and used a testing strip previously only available to doctors. Now patients could test at home. Throughout the 80s, and the availability of strips grew. The next 2 decades, so the 90s and 90s, saw self-monitoring of blood glucose, brackets SMBG technology, improve until it was recommended for all patients. So the 90s is when it seems like the blood testing became kind of across the board for everybody rather than urine, which is great. But like in the last, 10 years? Must be just mind blown for people.
Yeah, it's crazy. But that's what I always say too. Like it's there's never a good time to be diagnosed with type 1 diabetes. But if you're going to be diagnosed at all, now is a good time. Because number one, look at all the unbelievable advancements in tech. But even just number two, that's kind of combined with number two, is the fact that there's so much more knowledge about diabetes out there too that is so accessible. And also number three, the simple fact that social media exists. You can just go on to all these different platforms, even podcasts, and see other people, podcasts, YouTube, et cetera, of other people living with diabetes, how they do it, how they think about it, et cetera, et cetera. Even when I was diagnosed in 2012, Facebook wasn't really even a thing. Well, for me at that time, wasn't really a thing for me. And I specifically remember when I was diagnosed over that weekend thinking like, my God, am I the only person on the planet living with this thing? Because there was almost no insight into somebody else's life as conveniently as there is now. Like you can just go onto my Instagram and see loads of stories, loads of posts over the last 5 years.
Yeah.
Like I didn't have that when I was diagnosed.
Yeah. So we think about social media as well has made it so much more accessible to information.
Yeah. 100%.
We didn't even plan on talking about that. I find that really interesting. We have a email here from a Nadine from Dublin. She tells us how she got diagnosed 3 weeks ago. She's 34. She's got two kids. Tell us a little bit about her diagnosis, but she's got a question in here, Owen, that I'd like to put to you. She says, one question that comes to mind is that me and a friend like to do spa nights away. Do you have any advice heading to the sauna, steam room, /hot tubs? I'd be quite nervous and I have an upcoming stay away with her. I'm only on episode 78 of the podcast, so not sure if you've covered it yet. Thanks a million. Hope you're keeping well. And again, cannot thank you enough for the podcast. Without it, I feel I would have really struggled mentally with my diagnosis. That is from Nadine in Dublin. So Owen, saunas, steam rooms, hot tubs, a lot of heat. I remember before you talking about temperature does have an effect. What are you saying to Nadine?
Well, firstly, Nadine, I appreciate you listening to the podcast. The fact that you were diagnosed so recently and you've already listened to 78 odd episodes.
Oh,
that's insane. Impressive. So yeah, very impressive. And I hope you've been able to benefit from those 78 episodes up to this point. Also, I hope you're managing everything okay, because I know firsthand, definitely a shock to the system. But if you're a parent of two kids already, I can imagine it's probably more challenging than most who are diagnosed if we don't have kids at that time. So hats off to you, Nadine, to say the least. But to go to the question specifically with the kind of hot tubs, jacuzzis, et cetera, et cetera. It can be different for everybody, like I suppose like most things with diabetes. But there's actually, I don't know, Graham, if you might have seen this over the years, but sometimes you can go to like a hotel or like a resort or a gym that has a hot tub or a jacuzzi or whatever it is. And sometimes it will actually say something along the lines of, if you have diabetes, do not use the hot tub.
Oh, I would have never noticed that.
Yeah. So I've seen, I saw it once years ago and I can't remember exactly where it was. But it was something that came up actually with a client in our program who was away recently. I've been speaking too much today and my words are getting tangled. But a member of our program was away recently and they had specifically seen on the hot tub, again, something along the lines of, do not use the hot tub if you have diabetes or whatever. So basically, if you're in hot water, i.e. a jacuzzi or a hot tub, potentially your blood sugars may go lower. And I understand the logic of like the kind of warning of do not understand or do not enter the hot tub if you have diabetes. Bit dramatic, in my opinion. But if we, I would kind of treat it similar to exercise, because I know that if I am in hot water, even a hot shower, for example, something called vasodilation means that your blood vessels expand and it can almost exaggerate the impact of the insulin that's already active in your system. So if I have a hot shower with fast acting insulin active in my system, I am much more inclined to go low. So I almost only have hot shower. I obviously do shower, right? But I plan a hot shower at a time in the evening usually where I don't have a massive amount of fast acting insulin active in my system, so I don't go really low. So it's a similar sort of idea with a hot tub. If I am going into a hot tub or a jacuzzi and I have fast acting insulin active in my system, I'm probably going to go low because my blood vessels essentially are opened more, and that is potentially going to exaggerate the impact of the insulin in my system. So with that, the main thing for me and potentially Nadine is to be mindful of the amount of fast acting insulin you have active in your system at the time of you going into the hot tub or jacuzzi. And what that actually means is the fact that fast acting insulin that we take, i.e. NovoRapid is obviously what I take, that's going to be active in our system for up to 3 to 4-ish hours. So I don't want to be taking a massive big dose of fast acting insulin and jumping into a hot tub shortly after, because like I said, I'll probably trend quite low. So that's one thing to be mindful of, is the amount of insulin that you have active in your system. The complete opposite to that is you may potentially go really high in the hot tub. And there's even members of our program who, with hot showers, the complete opposite happens to them as it happens to me, where they would have a hot shower, and because the water is hotter temperatures, higher temperatures, it's essentially causing like a stress release in their system, which causes blood sugar to spike. So again, yes, we have the same condition, but a different response to a different thing may be completely different. So it could be a matter of Nadine getting into, is it Nadine or Nadine? Anyway.
I would say Nadine.
Nadine?
I would say Nadine.
Okay, I'll continue with Nadine. So potentially Nadine could get into the hot tub or jacuzzi, and as a result of the hotter temperatures, see her blood sugar skyrocket, which is the complete opposite to what I've just said from my own personal experience, because we can be different. So with that, I would go back to the age-old theory or practice of saying, give it a go and see what happens. Because with type 1 diabetes, it's difficult to make a measured or rational decision around an action you're taking if you don't yet have any understanding of what response you're about to see. So I don't know yet if I should reduce my insulin in advance of going into a hot tub if I've never been in a hot tub before, because my blood sugar could go high or my blood sugar could go low. Similar to if I'm going to the gym, I don't know if I should take insulin before the gym or avoid taking insulin before the gym if I've never been in the gym. Or I don't know how much insulin to take or not take for a Domino's pizza because I've never had a Domino's pizza before, for example. So it's not a very specific way to look at it, but the only way you can get specific around something with your diabetes management is doing something. And it goes back to my 3 A's of awareness, anticipation, action. You're aware of what happens, you anticipate what happens, and therefore you know what action to take because of what has happened in the past. So with a hot tub, personally, I'm not telling Nadine what to do, but personally, I would just get in a hot tub, see what happens.
If you go low, if you go high, address it then. But obviously, if there's a chance of you going really high or going really low, have glucose tablets and have insulin for when it's needed, potentially.
There we go. Nadine, I hope you got a lot from Owen's answer there. And listen, on behalf of myself and Owen, enjoy the spa. I'm sure you deserve it because you're telling us you've got two kids. So fair play to you. If you have any more questions, remember what I said at the start of the podcast. If there is a question you've always had on your mind and you're like, oh, will I ask it? Won't I ask it? Now is the time. The Insul Owen Podcast at gmail.com. Send your question and we will do our best to get to it. We love hearing from the people who listen to this podcast. You are the reason we turn up every week. Well, I don't turn up every week. Owen turns up every week. I turn up sporadically when I'm not doing housework. Owen,
yeah.
Thank you as always.
Thank you, Graham. Appreciate it. And actually, just a final thought, because I was thinking about it in the back of my mind throughout this episode, because we were touching on like the advancements of tech and being lucky to be diagnosed with diabetes, like today, if you're diagnosed at all. Mm-hmm. Even a nice perspective shift to have if you've been living with it for 15 or 20 years. I've been living with it for 12. If I had have been diagnosed almost any other time in history, I would be dead. Which is a strange thing to think about, but also another interesting way to appreciate the health that you have. Because if I was diagnosed a century ago, essentially it was a death sentence. So,
yep.
Wasn't diagnosed at an ideal time, but I'm still here and I'm still around for the advancements in tech. And anything previous to 100 odd years ago, we'd all be dead. And to end on a very positive note, yes. As always, have a good day, have a good week, look after your blood sugars, take care of yourself, and we'll chat to you next week. Graham, take it easy.
Bye-bye.